Home, Thanksgiving, and football. For many American families, those three things are being celebrated this week in varying degrees. But it hasn't always been that way. Only a Game's Karen Given has our story.
Come on, Charlie Brown. I'll hold the ball and you kick it.
I did not grow up with football, but I did grow up with Charlie Brown. So when I first saw this scene from 1973's A Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, I'm pretty sure I thought Lucy was pulling Charlie Brown's leg again.
Well, one of the greatest traditions we have is the Thanksgiving Day football game. And the biggest, most important tradition of all is the kicking off of the football.
Is that right?
Is that right? And why did football and Thanksgiving come to be linked? I remember enough from high school to know that historians can't draw a straight line from the so-called first Thanksgiving in 1621 to the holiday we celebrate today.
No, you can't. Historians can't draw a straight line to anything or from anything.
That's Richard Crapeau. He's a professor of history at the University of Central Florida, and he specializes in sports history and 20th century U.S. history.
In the colonial period, the concept of Thanksgiving was essentially a thanks for a harvest or thanks for a military victory, thanks for something that went right.
Those Thanksgivings weren't a celebration of the home. They were a solemn church affair where colonists spent hours, sometimes all day, sitting on hard church pews. Historian James Baker was the longtime director of research for the Living History Museum, Plymouth Plantation, so he knows a thing or two about pilgrims. So I asked him, would pilgrims have enjoyed football on Thanksgiving?
No. The pilgrims probably wouldn't have approved of it.
The pilgrims did not approve of sports or leisure or fun, but...
Even King James, who liked sports, told his son Henry, who died, that he should avoid football. Other sports are right. Football is more for laming, he said, than exercise.
Over time, opinions about the benefits of long hours in church pews and the dangers of football softened, and Thanksgivings, celebrations of family and home, were being held on a semi-regular basis. But Crapeau says semi-regularity wasn't enough for G'day's Ladybook editor, Sarah Hale.
And at some point, she began to write editorials about it and sending letters to presidents and governors seeking to have some sort of an official holiday.
It took decades, but eventually all that letter and editorial writing paid off, and President Abraham Lincoln declared Thanksgiving as a national holiday in 1863. I grew up thinking of this as a Christmas song, so what's it doing in the middle of a story about Thanksgiving and football? And I am getting back to the football, I promise you. So if you don't already know, this isn't really a Christmas song. It's a Thanksgiving song. Here's James Baker again.
The original was, you know, over the river and through the woods to grandfather's house because it was the patriarch of the family that was inviting everybody.
And this is where football comes to the rescue. Because with Sarah Hale and all her letter writing moving Thanksgiving out of the church, a male realm, and into the home where women ruled, some scholars suggest that men were starting to get a bit concerned about their place in this holiday of turkey and pumpkin pie. I ran this idea by Crapeau, and he agreed.
If you go back to the late 19th century, one of the great sort of social anxieties that one reads about in that period is a concern over the feminization of culture.
Luckily, college football came along at just the right time.
Football in general, it's so identified with the masculinity. And masculinity is so central to all the rituals around it and to the game itself. That the introduction of that into a national holiday, it certainly masculinizes the holiday itself.
The first college football game was held in 1874. It wouldn't be long before the sport found a home on Thanksgiving Day.
The Princeton versus Yale game became the first sort of traditional established one.
At one point in the mid-90s...
That's the 1890s.
The football advisor at Yale decided that... Perhaps it was time to focus it on Thanksgiving Day.
It just sort of took off from there.
They were playing at the Polo Grounds in New York. It was drawing about 40,000 fans.
It was something that people would go out and do on Thanksgiving. When you got through dinner and you didn't know what else to do with your guests, you'd take them to a football game.
Very quickly, that idea of a Thanksgiving game, football game, spread out of New York, out of the Yale-Princeton rivalry, and spread across the country. And by the oh, by the mid to late 90s.
Again, the 1890s.
There were maybe 5,000 Thanksgiving Day football games going on across the country.
But not everyone was happy.
Thanksgiving Day is no longer a solemn festival to God for mercies given. It is a holiday granted by the state and nation to see a game of football.
That's from a New York Herald commentary published the day after Thanksgiving in 1893. 40 years later, in 1934, the NFL joined the Thanksgiving Day party with a tradition that brought the holiday back into the home.
The owner of the Lions, George Richards, he also had an interest in a radio station in Detroit, and he was able to put together a network of 94 stations coast to coast to broadcast the Lions game on Thanksgiving Day. This brought in then a national radio audience, and that was the beginning of the Detroit Lions' sort of traditional Thanksgiving Day game.
In 1966, a second game was added to the Thanksgiving Day television schedule, and then more recently, a third game, which really might be taking the whole thing too far.
By then, you're full of food and drink, and you probably don't need to be stuffed with another football game. But depending on who's playing, you might watch.
As for what happened to Charlie Brown, well, we all know the end of that story. For Only a Game, I'm Karen Given.